The text for this morning is Proverbs 15, verse 8. Last Sunday morning, we began by observing the fact that people aren't listening anymore. Not only are they not listening to their parents, their teachers, or other authorities in their lives, but tragically, they are not listening to God. Although I would like to continue this series with a biblical study of listening as it relates to parenting, I will save that message until a series on the family that will come in the future. Getting back to last Sunday, you may recall that the message was entitled, Are You Listening to God? You may also recall that true listening involves three steps. First step, hear the word, that is the word of God. Number two, understand and accept it. And number three, change in accordance with it. All three steps need to take place in order for true listening to take place. This morning, we'll consider the other side of the coin. Is God listening to you? Last Sunday, it was, are you listening to God? Now we're asking, is God listening to you? Perhaps you've been telling yourself lately, I don't know if God is hearing my prayers. It surely doesn't seem like he's answering my prayers. He very well may not be, and he has stated clearly in his word, why not? I encourage you to ask God right now to make it clear to you in this message whether there is a reason God is not listening to you. And if so, ask him to strengthen you, to fix the problem right away, according to his instructions. Just to make sure we are on the same page here, you know that we can talk to God in prayer, whether out loud or silently in our hearts. So the question I'm really asking you today to consider is this. Is God listening to your prayers? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we open our Bibles and our hearts and minds to receive your word, may we, as we learned last Sunday, truly listen by not only hearing your word, but understanding and agreeing with it, and lastly, to change in accordance with it. I pray that you would do your work of grace in each of our hearts. And Lord, I pray that you would bring fruit to bear as a result. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's begin, first of all, by understanding what are prayers that God does not hear, or at least he does not promise to hear. The prayers of the unsaved. Let me make one exception here. There is one prayer from them he promises to hear. And we'll deal with that exception a little later in this message. However, as a general rule, God does not hear the prayer of the unsaved. He does not hear the prayers of the outwardly wicked unsaved person. Proverbs 15, verse 8. The sacrifice of the wicked, the best that a wicked person can do, the most religious thing a wicked person can do, is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. He does not hear the prayers of the outwardly righteous unsaved person. Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. If you will turn there with me, I want you to see it with your eyes as I read it aloud from the pulpit. Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. And he, speaking of Jesus, also told this parable to some people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. He's talking about unsaved people who viewed themselves to be righteous. Verse 10, two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, and the other, a tax collector. Understand that a Pharisee was one of the most religious Jews at that time who was very strict and very conservative in their theological views as opposed to the Sadducees that were very liberal and not very close to the Bible. So the two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. In other words, someone who worked for the enemy. They worked for the Romans. They helped collect taxes for the Roman oppressors. Verse 11, the Pharisee stood and was praying to himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. No, God does not promise to listen to the prayers of the unsaved, whether they be outwardly wicked or outwardly righteous. Secondly, God does not promise to listen to the prayers of searching Christians. He will not listen to the prayers of the Christian who harbors unconfessed sin in his life. Psalm 66, verse 18, if I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. To regard wickedness in your heart means to harbor sin in your heart instead of confessing it and forsaking it, as we are instructed to do in Proverbs 28, verse 13. Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2, we read, behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, nor is his ear so dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities, your sins, have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he does not hear. No, God does not listen to the prayers of a Christian who harbors unconfessed sin in his life. Secondly, God does not listen to the Christian husband who is not treating his wife as God instructs, and vice versa. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, you husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. Obviously, God is not just fussing with Christian husbands, but he's also encouraging Christian wives to do what God wants them to do as well, as you read otherwhere. So God does not listen to the prayers of a Christian who harbors unconfessed sin in his life. Secondly, God does not listen to the prayers of a Christian husband who is not treating his wife as God's word teaches, and vice versa. And thirdly, God does not listen to the prayers of the Christian who has an idol in his heart. Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 3. Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts and have put right before their faces the stumbling block of their iniquity. Should I be consulted by them at all? Let me give you a definition of the Bible's use of the word idol. An idol is anything that usurps the place that belongs to God in your heart. This doesn't mean that you are literally bowing down to an image as people in the Old Testament worship their carved or molten images. It means anything that you give first place to in time, love, or importance. Only God should have first place in your heart, your schedule, your attention, and everything else. Let me offer some common examples of things or people that can become an idol in your heart and life. A person can become an idol. Your spouse, your family, a sports, movie, music star, political leader, you name it, the list could go on. By the way, it's interesting that the world even uses the term idol for superstars and whatever. They call them idols. Interesting. A possession can become an idol. A car, house, clothes, a toy, you name it. Electronic device. A person, possession, a pastime, a sport, a hobby, watching entertainment. How much time do you allot to these? Do you skip your daily time in the Word and in prayer, or skip church in order to spend time in your pastime? Even a preconception can become an idol. Your views on certain matters. Do you ignore or twist Scripture to agree with your ideas? Or do you change your ideas to fall in line with Scripture? God does not listen to the prayers of a Christian who harbors unconfessed sin in his life. Secondly, God does not listen to the prayers of a Christian husband who is not treating his wife as God's word teaches, and vice versa, when a Christian wife doesn't treat her husband as God's word teaches her to do. Thirdly, God does not listen to the prayers of a Christian who has an idol in his heart. Fourthly, God does not listen to the prayers of a Christian who does not give. On the one hand, this refers to a Christian who demonstrates a lack of liberality toward God. The passage I'm about to read doesn't say it directly so much as it implies it. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. In the context of this chapter, in fact, this book, Paul is writing to the Corinthians and encouraging them to give to the Lord's work. And this is what he says in these two verses. On the other hand, God is much more direct in warning a Christian who demonstrates a lack of liberality toward others in need. Proverbs 21, verse 13, he who shuts his ear to the cry of the poor will also cry himself and not be answered. Oh, listen, we live in a country where there's no need for anyone to be hurting very much for food and shelter and so forth. However, it does happen. And so we kind of sort of figure the government's going to take care of them. It wasn't like it was in the first century AD. However, there are still people in need. And God may tap you on the on your shoulder, so to speak, and say, there's a need that you could fill if you have a heart that gives. So be listening to God when he does that. Not only does God not listen to a Christian who does not give, but he also does not listen to a Christian who does not forgive. Mark chapter 11, verse 25, whenever you stand praying, forgive, the Lord Jesus says here. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions. In other words, maybe you are asking God to forgive your sin, but you are holding something against someone else. God is saying, I'm not listening to that prayer until you forgive that other person in your heart. So God does not listen to the prayers of a Christian who harbors unconfessed sin in his life. Secondly, God does not listen to the prayers of a Christian husband or wife who are not treating their spouses as God's word teaches them to. Thirdly, God does not listen to the prayers of a Christian who has an idol in his heart. Fourthly, God does not listen to the prayers of a Christian who does not give. Fifthly, God does not listen to the prayers of a Christian who does not forgive. Sixthly, God does not listen to the prayers of the Christian who prays with a selfish motive or prays for wrong things. James chapter 4, verse 3 says this, "You ask and do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures." So here's someone who is asking God for something, and God is not listening. Why? Because you're asking with wrong motives, with selfish desires and intentions. So God does not listen to the prayers of a Christian who harbors unconfessed sin in his life. Secondly, God does not listen to the prayers of a Christian husband or wife for not treating their spouses in the way that God teaches. Thirdly, God does not listen to the prayers of a Christian who has an idol in his heart. And fourthly, God does not listen to the prayers of a Christian who does not give. Fifthly, God does not listen to the prayers of a Christian who does not forgive. Sixthly, God does not listen to the prayers of the Christian who prays with a selfish motive or prays for wrong things. And finally, God does not listen to the prayers of the Christian who is double-minded. In other words, who wavers back and forth. He trusts God, then he doesn't trust God. Then he trusts God, then he doesn't trust God. James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. "But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him." But there's a caveat here. There's an exception here. But he must ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Picture for a moment the surf of an ocean. How many of you have ever been to a seashore? Okay. Or at least to a lake shore. If you're one of the big lakes, you know, Lake Michigan and so forth, you can see the same kind of thing. The wind tosses the surf back and forth. Verse 7 says, "For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord. He must ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." Okay, we've spent a lot of time understanding the bad news. Prayers that God does not hear, or at least he does not promise to hear. Let's take time to understand now the good news. Prayers that God does hear and which please him. The first kind of prayer that God does hear is the prayer of the publican, if you have the King James Version, or the tax collector. That is the prayer of the sinner for salvation. Did you notice as we read that some time ago, Luke chapter 18, verse 13? "But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating on his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, the sinner.'" In this passage, Jesus was teaching those listening to him that God's ear was always open toward any sinner who humbly admitted he was a sinner and asked God for his mercy and salvation. In the following verse, Jesus declares that this tax collector who admitted his sin and asked God for mercy and salvation received that salvation. Whereas the other man who prayed, a Pharisee who boasted of his self-righteousness and good works, did not receive salvation. What a blessing to hear God's invitation and promise to all sinners in Romans chapter 10, verse 13. "For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved." Let me add here that although God may, in his gracious wisdom and mercy, listen to and answer the prayer of an unsaved person other than this one, the only prayer of an unsaved person that God promises to answer is the prayer that embodies what this tax collector prayed in Luke chapter 18, verse 13. So the first kind of prayer that God does hear is the prayer of an unsaved person for salvation. The second kind of prayer that God listens to is the prayer of God's repentant children, those who are confessing their sin to their Heavenly Father. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, say the same thing about it that God says about it. He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Here in this verse, we're assured that when a child of God repents of his sins, demonstrated by his confessing it as such to God, then God not only listens to his prayer, but also forgives him and cleanses him from all unrighteousness. Wow, what a blessing. So the first kind of prayer that God does hear is the prayer of an unsaved person for salvation. The second kind of prayer that God listens to is the prayer of a repentant Christian as he confesses his sin to God. The third kind of prayer that God listens to is the prayer of God's obedient children for all good things. Proverbs 15, verse 8, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright, those who are in a right relationship with God, is his delight. John chapter 14, verses 13 and 14, the Lord Jesus said this, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. In John chapter 16, verse 24, until now you have asked for nothing in my name, Jesus said. Ask and you will receive, so that your joy may be made full. You see how over and over again, in fact, in two different chapters, the Lord Jesus was teaching his disciples and us as well, as we read these words, that he wants us to ask him for good things, that is, things that are in line with his will and his way. And he promises that he will grant that request. He will listen. James chapter 5, verse 16, the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. This sampling of both Old Testament and New Testament passages clearly shows that God is pleased to listen to the prayers of his children when they are living in obedience to his word and in fellowship with his Son. What should this do in your heart, in your life? This ought to give you a super motivation to be in a right relationship with the Lord, to confess any known sin, to ask the Lord to search your heart, as the psalmist said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, test me, see if there be any wicked way in me. Oh, listen, you need to stay in a right relationship with the Lord. And when you have sinned, go to the Lord immediately, confess it to him. Call it what he calls it. Don't try to excuse it. Don't try to make all sorts of euphemistic substitutions for what it really is. But call it sin as he calls it. Confess it to him, and he promises to forgive you and to cleanse you. When you have that right relationship with the Lord, then God's ear is open. He's listening to your prayers as you ask for many things that are in line with his will. By the way, in order to do that, you've got to be in the Word. You've got to be reading God's Word. You've got to be studying God's Word. You have to know what kinds of things God is pleased to answer for his people. Because God also says, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. You need to know that it's according to his will. You know, when I pray for an unsaved person, whether it be a loved one, whether it be someone I've met and I've handed a tract to or talked to about the Lord, I try to get their first name at least so that I can talk to the Lord and use a name. And I pray for them. I am so glad that I have a promise in God's word that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So I know that I'm praying according to his will because he wants that person to be saved. And so I ask God to do something extraordinary in that person's life, to bring their need back to their minds, to turn them away from something that would distract them from remembering what I've talked to them about, or that they've heard in a message, or that they have read in the tract. And I ask God to just not let them rest, not let them be comfortable in their sin, but that God would continue to convict their hearts. I can ask for that because I know it's according to his will, because God's word says that the Holy Spirit is convicting the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. So I know I'm asking according to his will. Oh, listen, fill your mind with the word of God. Then you can ask for the things that are in line with God's will, and he is pleased to answer. In a little while, I'll close this message with a word of prayer. And as your heads are bowed and your eyes are open, or closed, I'm sorry, would you allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart through what we studied from his word this morning? Every head bowed, every eye closed, please. Again, let me ask the question which I posed to you at the beginning of this message. Is God listening to you? The prayers which please God and which he listens to are the prayers of those who are in the right relationship with him. Are you in the right relationship with God today? First of all, are you saved? If you could truly and honestly answer yes to that question, then are you living in obedience to God's word? Or is there something that you're trying to shy away from, that your conscience, that the Holy Spirit is using to convict you, is bringing that thing back to your mind? Will you confess that to the Lord and ask him to give you victory over that sin and thank him for his forgiveness and his cleansing? Then stay in a right relationship with the Lord. Are you living in obedience to God's word? Are you truly listening to him, as we learned last Sunday morning in the previous message? If you couldn't say yes to all these questions, you can take care of it right now. You can get in the right relationship with the Lord today, right there in your seat where you're listening, because he listens to the prayer of an unsaved person who wants to be saved. He listens to the prayer of a disobedient Christian who is repenting and confessing their sin and asking for forgiveness and cleansing. If you need to trust Christ as your Savior, please, would you let me show you from the Bible how you can do that at the close of this service? If you're here, would you raise your hand and let me know you want to talk to me about it afterwards so that I can make sure that I talk with you afterwards? Or if you're connected to us on Zoom or are listening later on our website, would you contact me by email or texting so that I can take the Bible and show you how to make sure of salvation? Would you let me know so that I can talk to you? If you already are saved, but are not in the right relationship with the Lord because of your lack of listening to him, you're not obeying him in every area of your life, You can take care of that right now in the quietness of these closing moments of prayer. Right now in your heart, repent and confess it to God. Talk to Him in the quietness of your heart. He's listening to that kind of prayer. If you'd like me to give you some help in dealing with some area of your life that is giving you trouble, please let me help you with that from the Word of God. I can give you some practical suggestions to get you going in a new godly direction. I can help you unknot those tangled web of sins in your life that have gotten more complicated as you put off confessing and forsaking them. Would you let me know by raising your hand that God is speaking to your heart about your need to confess and forsake some sin, and you'd like me to pray for you that God would give you strength and courage to take care of it today? I will not point you out or embarrass you in any way, but I will pray for you, and I will be available for you after the service to talk if you need some help or counsel in getting victory over some sin in your life. Is there anyone? Just let me know by raising your hand and putting it down. As always, if you are on Zoom or listening later on our website, please contact me so that I can pray for you and help you to do what God wants you to do. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that carefully tells us what we need to know, that thoroughly tells us what you are like, what your ways are like, what your will for us is. Lord, I thank you so much for your word, all 66 books. Thank you, Lord, for what you teach us in every line, every word, every book. Lord, I pray that we would love your word, that we would spend time in it. Lord, for those who are not yet saved, I pray that you would convict their hearts, that they would not put off repenting of their sin and trusting Christ alone for salvation from sin and hell. I pray, Father, for those who are saved, who have allowed idols to grow in their hearts, things that they are putting above you in their priorities. Lord, I pray that they would recognize them as your Holy Spirit convicts, as your Holy Spirit brings them to mind. I pray that they would break down every idol and put you back on the throne of their hearts in first place. As Colossians chapter 1 tells us, that you would have the preeminence, first place in our hearts and our lives. I pray, Father, for those who are allowing some sin to remain in their lives. They're not confessing and forsaking it. They've made excuses for it. They've called them euphemistic terms. Lord, I pray that as you bring it to their minds right now, that they would confess it to you and forsake it by your enablement. Lord, we know that sometimes sin has become so ingrained in their lives, in their hearts, that it will take some definite changes in their life. Lord, if they need some help with that, may they come to me, or may they come to another person that they trust as a born-again Christian who's living a victorious life, who can give them help and be accountable to them so that they can get victory over this sin. Lord, I pray that you would bring each one of us to a right relationship with you so that we can gladly and joyfully come to you with our prayer requests and know that you will answer, because we're asking according to your will. And we have spent time in your word to know what your will is. and the things that please you. May we rejoice in the wonderful privilege of prayer. I pray now, Father, that you would do the work that's needed in each heart for your glory and for the joy and growth of those who love you. In Christ's name we pray.